I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week on a visit to Stoke-on-Trent in the county of Staffordshire. During the Industrial Revolution, Stoke was a major coal mining centre, but it was a hazardous occupation with the presence of poisonous and explosive gases. It was the mining engineer Thomas Allsop who discovered that if he took a canary down a coal mine where methane or carbon monoxide were present, the canary would die. But then he found it was easier just to smack it on the head with a hammer. This area can boast two rival football clubs, Port Vale and another one. Supporters of Port Vale were shocked to learn recently that in a training session, the team were discovered having a kickabout with a hedgehog. And by the time the RSPCA got there, the hedgehog was winning 3-0. The notorious gangster known as Mad Ernie Ellis ruled Stoke's underworld for many years, operating extortion and protection rackets. He retired after he was beaten about the head by thugs employed by the owner of a pub chain. Some say it was Weatherspoon, but it was more likely with a baseball bat. The two most famous people born in Stoke are Robbie Williams, the singer-songwriter, and Edward J. Smith, the captain of the Titanic. It's difficult to say which of them is held in higher affection here. It is, of course, well recorded that as the Titanic sank, the band in the ballroom played on regardless. But they're not the only performers prepared to keep going, ignoring the disaster developing around them. Let's meet the teams. They are on my left, Barry Crime, Graham Garden. And on my right, Timber Trailer and Omid Ali. And taking her place at the desk next to me, please welcome our scorer, the ever delightful Samantha. Okay, well, we start with a look at movie titles, which are a tiny bit longer than intended. So, teams, your suggestions, please, of film titles which would have been quite different if just one extra letter had been added. Barry, you can start.
The Lady Varnishes.
Tim?
Meet Men in St. Louis.
Ahmed?
Cinema Paradisco.
Graham?
A View to a Kilt.
Some Like It Shot.
Das Booty.
Closet Encounters. Dr. Knob.
The Good, the Bald and the Ugly.
I was in that.
How to Strain Your Dragon.
Gregory's a Girl.
A Bridge to Fart.
A Fart from the Madding Crowd.
Shaving Private Ryan. Yeah.
Well, it's music time now, where the team sing one song to the tune of another. This is a regular popular round, although not nearly as popular as the round where the teams sing no song to the tune of none other. Piano accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. It's an interesting fact that although we know Colin now as a pianist, he actually spent some time as an Elvis impersonator. He got jailed for fraud in 1974. Okay, well, we'll start with you, Barry. I'd like you to sing the words of I Don't Like Mondays by the Boomtown Rats to the tune of Tulips from Amsterdam.
The silicone chip
inside her head gets switched to overload. And nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. And Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was as good as gold. He could see no reason, 'cause there are no seasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Tell me why. I don't like Mondays. Tell me why.
Barry Cryer doing incredibly well when you consider that he's actually approaching his 80th birthday. So, I was just saying you're approaching your 80th birthday.
Have the visitors been?
You now, Tim. I'd like you to sing the words of Cocaine, a hit for Eric Clapton, to the tune of Who Do You Think You Are Kidding, Mr. Hitler?
If you wanna hang out, you've got to take her out. Cocaine if you wanna get down. Down on the ground, cocaine, she don't lie, she don't lie, she don't lie. Cocaine, if you've got bad news, you wanna kick them blues. Cocaine, when your day is done and you wanna run, cocaine.
Okay, you, Ahmed, I'd like you to sing the words of the Marrow song to the tune of The Girl from Ipanema.
Down the road there lives a man I'd like you all to know. He grew a great big marrow for the local flower show. When the story got around, they came from far and wide. And when people saw the marrow, everybody cried. Ooh, what a beauty. I've never seen one as big as that before. Ooh, what a beauty. It must be 2 foot long or even more. Oh, it's such a lovely colour and nice and round and fat. I've never thought a marrow could grow as big as that. Oh, what a beauty. I've never seen one as big as that before. Oh, what a beauty.
And finally, Graham, I'd like you to sing the words of Milkshake by Khalees to the tune of Gilbert and Sullivan's Ruler of the Queen's Navy.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard and they're like, it's better than yours.
His milkshake brings all the boys to the yard and they're like,
damn right, it is better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. I know you want the thing that makes me what the guys go crazy for.
What the guys go crazy for.
I lose their minds the way I rhyme. I think it's time to la-la warm it up.
They lose their minds by the way he rhymes.
He thinks it's time to la-la warm it up.
So we move on to the next round, which is about burglary. Now, the increasing crime rate is often put down to our soft penal system. British prisons these days are more like holiday camps, full of 1970s entertainers. So But in this game, the home of one team has been ransacked by a celebrity burglar, and the opposing team are detectives who will try to identify the burglar based on what items have been stolen or vandalised. So, Barry and Graham, your home is the first to be burgled, and the identity of your famous burglar is now being displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Jeremy Clarkson. Jeremy Clarkson.
Okay. Barry and Graham, so yours to start describing the state in which you find your freshly burgled home in order to assist detectives Tim and Ahmed deduce the identity of the celebrity burglar.
Oh, look at this mess.
I'm glad you're here, officers.
Yes, we are here. Tell us what you've seen.
Well, it's the hole in the wall, isn't it? Like somebody's driven a bulldozer through it. And they've nicked your collection of novelty lighters.
Yes. Lighter in the shape of Attila the Hun.
Yeah. I tell you, they even got your lighter in the shape of Genghis Khan, and that was carefully hidden. He must have been standing slightly to the right of that to have seen it. And the caravan's gone.
Yes.
Well,
there's bits all over
most
it.
Of them, some still smouldering.
Yeah.
And
bag of hamster food went.
That did, yes. And your jeans, your
yes.
jeans, your special jeans with the paunch support front panel.
Yes.
And it didn't steal the car, luckily. They took the diplomatic plates off it, though.
Yeah.
And the... And what was that other... Oh, the book, yeah. They took a book off the shelf. Xenophobia for Dummies. We were shattered, weren't we? You were
yes,
rattled.
Indeed. You saw the getaway, though.
Yeah.
Made the getaway in a Ferrari Testosterone.
Took my caravan. It sounds like a very right and left person here. Is that right?
You're half right.
It must be a UKIP person, then, is it?
No.
It could almost be.
It's not Geoffrey Archer, is it?
No.
No?
Not Geoffrey.
Oh.
Not Archer.
I think the car he got away with is probably a bit of a clue too, officer.
How did you get this job, officer?
Top Gear we're talking of.
You can say the name.
Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah.
It's your turn to be burgled, Tim and Ahmed, and the identity of your celebrity burglar will now be displayed to the audience via the laser display board. And once again, here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin.
Tim and Ahmed, please describe the state of your newly burgled house.
Well, hello, officers.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Now,
what's all this, then?
He's left his shirt behind for some reason.
He's taken all the CDs.
Really? Which ones?
He's taken them all. Except he's just left the Pet Shop Boys, the Village People, and the complete works of Julian Clary.
Look at the aquarium. He's taken the fish, but the tanks are all lined up on the lawn.
Although there are a number of people in the annex. I think the annex has been annexed. So in my mistake, he's left a note. The annex has not been annexed.
Well, it's cold in here. I think he must have switched off the gas.
We need to report this crime on TV. We've got to get it on Crime Watch Ukraine.
He's certainly upset the cats. Look at the state of them, poor little pussies.
Jeremy Clarkson. Oh, that'd cause a riot, that, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Hey, I think he's there. Okay, time's up.
We think it's Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Well, this next round is all about giving advice. And by the way, we have to correct a misunderstanding from the last time we did this, when we explained that the best way to stop your dog from chasing the postman was to have him neutered. We meant the dog. We must apologise to George Watkins of Lichfield, or Georgina as he's now known. In this game, I'll read out excerpts from Lord Baden-Powell's Scouting for Boys, from which certain words or phrases have been removed. The team should try to guess what the missing sections might have been. So we'll start with you, please, Tim. And the first excerpt to complete is this. Every boy ought to learn how to shoot and to obey orders, else he is no more good when war breaks out than...
France.
The real answer is an old woman and merely gets killed like a squealing rabbit, being unable to defend himself. Barry, one for you. About bees alone, whole books have been written. Bees are a model community, for they respect their queen and...
are always well beehived.
In fact, what he says, they respect their queen and kill their unemployed. Omid, one for you. There is nothing manly about getting drunk. Once a man gives way to drink, it ruins his health, his career and his happiness, as well as that of his family. There is only one cure for this disease, and that is...
opium.
Never to get it. Graham, if you ever feel tempted to bet on a dog or a horse or on cards, take hold of yourself and think of the 11th Scout Law.
Then let go of yourself before you break the 12th.
The 11th Scout Law is a scout is not a mug. Here are some for any of you to have a go at, see what you make of these. To be chivalrous, a man must put woman on a pedestal and see...
up her skirt.
And see all that is best in her. I used to do the trick of squatting down on the floor and putting one leg over the back of my neck. I was doing it in a play one night and I got...
a yes from Louis Walsh.
I got stuck. I couldn't get my leg back again, so I said in an undertone to the girl who was acting with me...
can you help me get my leg over, please?
He said, pull my leg, for goodness sake, pull my leg. I've told you of the dangers of drink and of smoking, but there is another practice which is perhaps more dangerous than either of them, and is one which is sure to tempt every one of you at one time or another. The practice is called...
sorry, I can't read this bit, my eyesight's gone.
The practice is called self-abuse. Goodness knows, I don't object to high spirits or occasional rowdiness. I have enjoyed them myself most heartily and played the fool to an extent that I should be ashamed of now to think that I ever played the game of...
adjusting my trousers and doing an imitation of an elephant.
to think that I ever played the game of the Bounding Brothers of the Bosphorus. Do you know it? Well, you pile all the furniture in the room into a pyramid, legs of the chairs upwards for choice, and place a good solid table well out in front of it. Then each competitor takes it in time to run at the table, turn head over heels on it, landing on the pyramid and not forgetting to shout as he does so...
call an ambulance! Whose bloody idea was this?
Not forgetting to shout, as he does so, I'm a bounding brother of the Bosphorus. It's a game we play all the time, obviously. And finally, the result of self-abuse is always, mind you, always, that the boy, after a time, becomes weak and nervous and shy. He gets headaches and probably palpitations of the heart. And if he still carries it on too far, he very often goes...
yes!
goes out of his mind and becomes an idiot. Well, the teams will use their writing skills next. Written English is incredibly subtle, the meanings changing simply by use of upper and lower case. For example, if you write polish with a capital P, it becomes a nationality. With a capital R, reading becomes an English town. And imagine how this sentence changes when you remove the capital letter J. Tommy helped his Uncle Jack off his horse. Each team will take it in turn to improvise the letters sent between two famous figures, with the players providing one word each at a time. So, Barry and Graham, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from local potter Josiah Wedgwood to King George III. Then Tim and Omid will come up with a reply and so on. So off you go, please, Barry and Graham.
Dear Majesty, I am engaged
in
making
the
coronation
mug
that
you
requested.
Namely,
the
mug
of
your
coronation.
Which
I
am
particularly
making
today.
Yes?
Today.
Now,
look
here.
This
mug
has
three
sides
and
one
bottom
and
two
tops.
Unusual,
I
think.
Don't
you?
Therefore,
what
do
you
think
I
should
paint
on
the
mug?
Because
I
have
heard
that
you
do
strange
and
worrying
yet
exotic
things
in
your
mugs.
I
would
like
to
paint
you
in
the
nude.
How
about
that?
If
you
come
round
soon,
would
you
visit
me
and
my
mugs
in
Stoke
upon
Trent?
Yes,
Stoke.
Because
I
live
in
Stoke
and
love
Stoke.
In
conclusion,
let
me
say
just
one
word.
Goodbye.
Josiah.
Dear Josiah, what the hell do you think you are talking about? Because I am hoping that you are going to paint my bottom as a pair of elephants. Full stop. So, how about you painting me as a satyr? Where did that come from?
Oh, is it?
On horseback riding on the left plain of the Salisbury. Full stop. Do you take my advice on all things mug? Question mark. Because I'm hoping you will come to my palace and give me one. Full stop. Lots of love from Georgie Porgy.
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time for the breakfast songbook. And so I'll ask the teams to suggest titles of songs that would suit everyone who enjoys their breakfast. Graham, can you start, please?
Thank you for the muesli.
Barry?
The first time I ever saw your flakes.
Tim?
Fried bread of heaven.
They liked you at the beginning, didn't they? Omid?
Stand by all bran.
Still in the Welsh, we'll kip a welcome in the hillsides.
Fry me a liver.
Muffin compares to you.
Stuck on the griddle with you.
Hey, hey, we're having a pot of tea.
I sniffed a grill and I licked it.
Regrets, I've had a brew. But then again, typhoon to mention.
It's my pot of tea and I'll cry if I want to.
Big grills don't fry.
The crumpet voluntary.
A ricicle made for two.
Kedgeri and ivory.
Have to sing it.
I mean, are we allowed to sing these?
Absolutely, yeah.
Granola gay. Smoothie operator. Hit the toast rack.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the Domino's pizza delivery boy falls off his scooter, and one by one, all the other Domino's pizza boys fall off theirs. I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Stoke, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Omid Jalili were being given silly things to do by Jack Dean, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. Programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.